The question today is, what is God like? This is part number 16 of this answer. We've been on this for a period of time, but we also have been used these, have these messages from our church where they're preached in length, about 11, I think it's 11 messages. We have the tape or the CD available for the asking. Because you see, many times these names, if we'll look at them and study them, they'll be a help to us. You can use them in your family altars. You can teach your children these things because these names reflect the character and the person of the Lord. And therefore it tells us what the Lord's like, how He operates and how He works. And that's just the way the Hebrew culture was in those days. Their names reflected their person and their character, and so does the names of God. Now, there's many names we've dealt with, and we'll recap later in the end of the series about the names. But all of them point to Elohim, Jehovah, if you please, El Shaddai. The strong one, the one who wants to reveal himself to man, and the one who pours himself in the life of a believer. And they are all good names, and there are thousands upon thousands of names are references to, or titles that references to the Lord God Almighty. And so therefore, it helps us to see what the Lord is like. So today we'll just continue a little bit dealing with the names, name titles, and we've spoken about the names that reflect the glory and majesty of God. We've spoken about the names that reflect the eternality of God. But now, today, let's just look at, and I'll not read scripture about every one of these names. I'll just mention some because I want you to do a little studying on your own. But names that reflect the holiness and the justice of God. He's called the God of justice. He's called the Holy God. He's called the Holy One, with a capital H, 51 times in the Old Testament. 30 of those are in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 25. He said, "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One," with a capital H. And why did Isaiah use so many of the times he's referred to as the Holy One? I think it's because of what Isaiah, the glimpse he got of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter number 6, whenever he said that he saw the Lord in verse 1, in the king Uzziah died. Everybody was looking to the government. The king Uzziah was smitten with leprosy because he'd entered into a holy place and where he shouldn't have gone, where he tried to offer sacrifices, what he shouldn't have done. He was smitten with leprosy, and as a result, people were concerned what's going to happen to our nation, what's going to happen to our king. But Isaiah said, "I was looking higher than the king. I looked up and got a glimpse of the Lord, sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up." And he saw those, he stood, and he said, "This train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke." So he's called the Holy One. And many times in Isaiah's writing, because he saw the Lord. As the angels cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." In the book of Revelation, we'll find the four beasts cried out that, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," which was and is to come. And that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He is a holy, holy God. He's called the righteous judge. I'm talking about names that reflect His holiness and justice of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, Paul's getting ready to depart off this life. He said, "In essence, the ship of Zion's coming in. The gangplank's been thrown out. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." And so Paul said He's the righteous judge. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 25, we find the time, of course, whenever God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He came by and talked to Abraham. And Abraham said to God, he's speaking to God now when he says this in Genesis 18, 25, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" In capital J, by the way. "And shall he not do right?" Sure, the judge of the earth will do right. Many judges today will not do right on this earth, but that judge will. In that time, he'll do right in that day. He also, we see names that reflect the power and the sovereignty of God. And sovereign is not a word to be afraid of. It just simply means chief, supreme. And that's who God is. He is chief and supreme above all others because there is no other. He's called the blessed and only potentate in the book of Timothy. Folks, I want to tell you, our Bible's as up to date as tomorrow's newspaper. He's putting a stop to these people who want to talk about being the most holy potentate. There is none on earth. He's the only potentate, if you please. He's called the Creator. He's called the Everlasting King. He's called the God of the whole earth. He's called Great, Mighty, and Awesome God in Deuteronomy 10:17. Because he said, "For the Lord our God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty God, a terrible God, which guardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." That word terrible simply means he's an awesome God. Someone said, "How do you describe awesome?" Well, someone said that the young people do it today. Is a good way to describe that would be, "Wow. Wow, what a God we have." As he's a terrible God. It's one who causes fear, simply all that means. But that's the names that reflect some of the names, just some of them, that reflect the power and the sovereignty of God. And then there's names that reflect the judgment and wrath of God. I'll not deal with but one of those in one area, but we know he's a jealous God, and he's an avenging God, if you please. He says there in Nahum chapter 1, verse number 2, "God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies." Now, a lot of people take that and try to use and preach that side of the coin of God and not deal with the other side. See, there's many more verses that reflect the love and the grace of God toward unregenerate man. Now, thank God for God's goodness that holds back the wrath of God off of man, giving him a space of repentance. But if man will not come to the point to receive him as Lord of their heart, obey the light they have, and come to the place that they allow the Lord to save them and do a work, completed work in their heart, then the wrath of God will fall on them. In other words, he'll have no other choice to do that. And so, therefore, he is a vengeful God. He is a jealous God. But thank God he's a good God, holding back His wrath off of us. That's why he said his long suffering, his goodness and forbearance holds back that wrath, giving us a space of repentance. Thank God for his goodness. Now, don't let the devil try to sidetrack you. Preach only one side of that coin. And true, we are enemies of God. But I will tell you, we are also are the sheep that God has chosen. And therefore, he in foreknowledge knows who will obey light and who won't and what not. And those things, we can't understand all the terminology. And my terminology may not be always right to suit some of you. But the thing about it is, he is a good God, a God of love and a God of grace. And true, he's a jealous God and an avenging God. That's some of the names. And then there's names that reflect God's relationship with his people. See, God is the only God and creator of his people. He's called the faithful creator in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 19. He says this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. He said, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator." Commit the keeping of your soul to him as a faithful creator. Now, I will tell you, this name tells us a little bit of what God's like. He's creator. He made this body. He made this soul, if you please. He made you. And the Bible said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, the doctors go to school for several years to try to figure out what the body's like. And folks, they really don't know what it's like. If you've ever been to the doctor much, they just hit and miss sometimes. It's just trial and error sometimes. And they don't know. But our Lord knows. He is the great physician, by the way, who does any healing, healing's done. But our Lord also knows your soul. And he's the only God and creator of his people. And you can commit your soul to him for safekeeping, and he'll carry you through. There's also names that reflect the relationship. God is intimate with his people. He's called the Father. He's called the Father of mercies. He's called the Father of the fatherless. He's called the Heavenly Father. And he's called the Holy Father. And by the way, that's God. That's not the Pope. Many people want to do that. The Pope don't even believe in who the Holy Father is and who's the fulfillment of the Godhead bottom. They don't even believe in Jesus Christ. They're looking through Mary. Now, folks, he is the Holy Father, though. The Bible calls him that. That shows he's intimate with his people. He's called the Righteous Father. And he says you can call him Abba Father. Romans 8:15, he said, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which is an intimate term, Papa, Papa, a closeness, he said, that we can have today. Why? Because he's intimate with his people. And then there's other names that to show that God is faithful. He loves and forgives his people. He's called the faithful God, called the forgiving God. He's called the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, the God of peace, the God of love, the God of truth, the God of hope. He's called the merciful God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 31, he said, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy people, which he sware unto them." Thank God he's a merciful God. Then he also is, the names reflect the God that reigns over his people. He's called in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 5, as we saw before, we saw about how Isaiah saw a holy God. But he said that when he saw him in verse 5, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." That's the warring name of God. But he's called the King also. If saw the King, capital K, he's called the Great King. He's called the King of Ages. He's called the Judge and Lawgiver in Isaiah 33, verse 22. He said, "For the Lord is our Judge. The Lord is our Lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us." Then we see names that reflect the fact that God saves his people. He's called the Deliverer. He's called the Horn of my salvation. He's called the Savior. He's called the Redeemer. Job chapter 19, verse number 25, Job made this statement, and of course Job was covered in sore boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot, and his friends came to him that really were his enemies and accused him of this and that. He lost everything he had, his materialistic possessions, his children, even the respect of his wife. And listen to what Job said in Job 19, 25. "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth." He was frustrated at times and didn't understand some things at times, but he said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." Names of God, a name of God that shows that God saves his people. Listen, the Lord hadn't even been born yet. The Lord hadn't died yet. The Lord hadn't resurrected yet. He hadn't come back yet, but he said, "I know he lives, and he's going to stand upon the earth in the latter days." Thank God that he knew that, and I'm glad he knew that. God showed him that. Now, we're talking about the names of God that reflect his person and his character, how he operates and how he works, and that tells us what God is like. Oh, we've had the wrong concept of God. May we see these many, many, many names, hundreds and thousands of names, really, and titles that reflect God's person and God's character. If you need these tapes, let us know. We'll be glad to send them to you, and they'll tell you what God's like, looking at the Word of God. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.